Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and this hour, science fiction, later on from X-1 from 1956. But first, favorite story, with the tale Dr. Heidegger's Experiment, heard on NBC on March 18, 1947.
This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. I'm sure we've all wondered at one time or another what might happen if we could take a sip from the fabled Fountain of Youth. If you had your life to live over, would you live it any differently? Nathaniel Hawthorne asks those questions and gives us some surprising answers in his rare and fanciful story, Dr. Heidegger's Experiment. The young Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star, Robert Walker, chose this unusual tale as his favorite story. So climb the stairs with us to the musty office of a small-town physician. It's late afternoon, the mongrel hour between light and darkness. Heading for the office of Dr. Heidegger are the four oldest people in town. And before this half hour is over, all of them will be part of Dr. Heidegger's Experiment.
Ah, come in. Come in, Mr. Medworth.
Is that you, Dr. Heidegger?
It is.
My eyesight's not what it was.
Here, have a chair.
3 blocks felt like 3 miles. I do not like to walk, especially on the main street of this town.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll see that you have transportation back.
If you wanted to see me so urgently, why didn't you come to my room? Nobody ever visits me. But you're always welcome, Heidegger.
I'm expecting others here this afternoon.
Others? No, please. I do not wish to see anybody. I'm an old man. I'm embarrassed.
Well, I don't wish to embarrass you or inconvenience you, but I urge you to stay. I need your assistance. For an experiment. A most unusual experiment. I've called you here, Mr. Medburn, because you're the oldest living man in this county.
Oldest? That's not true. Killigrew, is he still alive?
Yes.
He's older. And Gascoigne, he's 2-3 years older than I am.
How old are you, Mr. Medburn?
How old? 81.
Well, there must be some mistake in the records then, Mr. Medburn. I went through the dusty files at the courthouse this morning, and according to your birth certificate, you were 87 on October 15th last.
Seven? Perhaps. A man loses count. What difference does it make? What difference?
So that our experiment can be of strict scientific nature, let's make certain we have the other facts correctly. Your occupation, real estate manipulator.
Philanthropist, they called me in the newspaper.
A newspaper which you owned at the time.
Yes. This whole street, this building, too. Remember how you used to come with the rent, Heidegger?
I remember. And the other facts I've jotted down are that you never married.
Never married.
And that though you accrued to yourself quite a sizable bank account and control of most of the real property of this county, you lost it all in frantic manipulation a number of years ago.
A man makes certain mistakes, Heidegger. If he could live his life over, he would not be so foolish. I do not like your bringing these matters up. I contributed a great deal to this town.
If you'll forgive me for a moment, Mr. Medburn. I believe our second guest has arrived.
What do you want with me, Doctor?
Colonel Killigrew, it's a pleasure to see you.
It's not a pleasure to see you. I don't like you. Don't like this office.
Well, you've been here too often. That's understandable. Come in. Have a seat.
Who's that there? Medburn? Doctor, I don't want to see anybody. I'm a sick man.
You don't think I enjoy seeing you, do you, Killigrew?
You tricked me into coming here, Doctor. Why?
Colonel, I ask only a half hour of your time. Surely you'll grant me that.
Well, I won't stay a second after six. My gout bothers me in the dark. Night air's not good for me. You know that, Doctor.
Sit down.
For only a few moments, mind you.
Colonel Killigrew, I find from my voluminous entries on you in my files that you have never had what can be called an occupation. You are now 84 years of age. And as a doctor, I must state quite frankly that most of your ailments are a result of your having wasted your best years.
When I come to this office, I expect a packet of headache tablets or a bottle of medicine to help me sleep nights. I do not expect a morality lecture.
Colonel Killigrew, I want to ask you a hypothetical question. Our friend Mr. Medburn here tells me that if he had his life to live over again, he'd be wiser, perhaps. How about you, Colonel? Even your title is honorary instead of earned. Would you act any differently? You think about that, Colonel, while I admit our third guest. Mr. Gascoigne, won't you come in?
Somebody followed me here. I'm sure of it. Somebody followed me here. What kind of deviltry are you up to now, you old quack?
I shall pass over this personal slur, Mr. Gascoigne, and invite you to come in.
You're the kind of man who should be investigated by a congressional committee, Heidegger. You have no right to pry into private lives the way you do. It's un-American.
Yes, well, perhaps we can have a little political discussion about all this, sir, if you'll only step through the door and have a seat. You know Colonel Killigrew and Mr. Medburn, of course.
They followed me here. It's a trap of some kind.
Not at all, not at all. We're about to conduct an experiment, which, if you're cooperative, you'll find maybe extremely profitable.
I know the kind of man you are, Heidegger. Black magic stuff. In my day, there was a bill before the legislature to exile men like you. Send you back where you came from.
Well, it would be pleasant to visit Rhode Island again, but that's beside the point. Please sit down.
I'm a man who's reached the age when he likes to be left alone.
Well, now, I believe you're the youngest of this group, Mr. Gascoigne. According to the notes I have on you, sir, you're a mere 81. In this company, that makes you hardly dry behind the ears.
There it is. Do the rest of you see it? That thick black book on his desk contains voodoo, black magic secrets. Everybody in this state's heard tell of that black book.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Well, gentlemen, as soon as our last guest arrives, perhaps I'll show you what's in that book.
You let me get out of here. Let me out.
Your indulgence for just a few moments. Mr. Gascoigne, would you answer a few questions, just to make sure I have the facts correctly?
Maybe yes and maybe no. What are you up to?
Mr. Gascoigne, you held public office for some years.
Yeah?
First locally, then in the state, then as a representative to our national Congress.
Is so?
You were involved in what we shall call in charity's name a financial misunderstanding.
Why?
You were what might be called an infamous politician.
How dare you?
At the moment, merely an obscure one.
Politician, indeed. I was a statesman.
According to my way of thinking, a statesman is one who thinks of the next generation. A politician, one who thinks merely of the next election.
What?
Why? In all honesty, Mr. Gascoigne, how would you classify yourself? And if you had a chance to get into government again, as a young man, mind you, which path would you take?
Why, I... Oh, you're a devil. How did you know how to put your finger on the very thing a man thinks of during all the long hours? But we don't get a chance to use any of the wisdom that comes with the years, do we? Do we, Doctor?
That remains to be seen. I believe I hear footsteps on the stairs. That must be our last guest. Widow Wycherley. Allow me to help you in.
Widow Wycherley!
What do you want, Dr. Heidegger? You know I don't go out of my house.
Just a moment of your time, madam.
I wouldn't have come if you hadn't sent word that it was a matter of life or death.
A matter of life, Mrs. Wycherley? You've added the word death yourself.
Oh, these men. Doctor, you didn't tell me there would be others here.
Just three friends, my dear widow.
Oh, I've never been so embarrassed in all my life. Why did you bring me here?
Please sit down. Oh, please don't hide your face. This experiment will not take long. Sit here.
Don't turn on the light. I beg you.
I promise we'll do nothing against your will. I ask only a few short moments.
Very well. Quickly, please.
I wanted you here, Widow Wycherley, because it's common knowledge that you were the great beauty of your day. We'll not state your age. Suffice it to say that you are 2 or 3 years younger than these gentlemen. I believe it's necessary to say, though this may prove embarrassing, that all 3 gentlemen present fought for your hand.
Oh, Dr. Heidegger, please stop.
Killigrew, I once hit you in the face. Have I ever apologized?
It's quite all right, Gascoigne.
I apologize now, old man.
Stop. Stop, all of you. Have you no consideration for the feelings of an old lady? Let me die. I'm old and wrinkled.
Let's try not to be emotional, my friends. I believe we're ready for our experiment.
If you want us to examine the cobweb through your microscope, show it to us. Let's get this over with.
My experiment may prove far more important than the cobweb. Now, first, I want to place this small table here between you. On this table, I should like to place an old cut glass vase I've had in this office for many years. And in it, I will pour all the contents of this flask.
What does this have to do with us? It's dark. I want to go home.
You wonder, gentlemen, what's in this old black book. I'm going to show you now. No black magic here, my friends. Just an ancient rose pressed between these pages. Look. It's brown and old, almost ready to crumble into dust in my hand.
Why do you show this to us?
This rose, this same withered and crumbling flower, blossomed 55 years ago. It was given to me by Sylvia Ward, who was my fiancée. She died the day before our wedding. For 55 years, I've treasured this rose between the leaves of this old volume. Now, watch. I'm going to place this faded flower into this vase of water. This is not just a deception in the moonlight, my friends. The crushed and dried petals are stirring. The deep decayed brown is becoming rich crimson. The twigs are becoming green again. This rose is reviving from its death-like slumber. So that now it's as fresh and lovely as the day Sylvia gave it to me.
Oh. Very pretty trick, Dr. Heidegger. I didn't know you had taken up parlor magic.
How did you affect that trick, Heidegger?
Did you ever hear of the Fountain of Youth?
The Fountain of Youth?
Which Ponce de Leon, the Spanish adventurer, went in search of 2 or 3 centuries ago.
Did he ever find it?
No, for he never looked for it in the right place. The famous Fountain of Youth, if I'm rightly informed, is situated in the southern part of the Floridian Peninsula, not far from Lake Macaco. Its source is overshadowed by several giant magnolias. Though numberless centuries old, they've been kept as fresh as violets by the virtues of this wonderful water.
Where did you get it?
An acquaintance of mine, knowing my curiosity in such matters, has sent me what I have poured in this vase.
And what may be the effect of this fluid on human beings?
You shall judge for yourself, my dear Colonel, for this is the nature of this evening's experiment.
Oh.
Now, here are 4 glasses. May I pour you each enough to quench your thirst, Mrs. Wycherley? Mr. Medburn? Colonel Killigrew? Mr. Gascoigne?
Aren't you drinking with us, Heidegger?
No, my friend. Having had so much trouble growing old, I'm in no hurry to grow young again. With your permission, I'll merely watch the progress of the experiment.
What a strange perfume.
Shall we drink?
One moment. Before you do, remember. You have the experience of a lifetime to direct you. Wouldn't it be well, before you drink, to draw up a few general rules for your guidance in passing a second time through the perils of youth?
Well, really?
A person knows these things.
It would be a shame if, with your peculiar advantages, you should not become patterns of virtue and wisdom to all the young people of the age.
A ridiculous idea. Of course we will.
Drink, then. I'm glad I've selected the subjects of my experiment so well.
Here's two.
Bottoms up.
My face, the wrinkles are going away. I'm getting younger.
And I
too,
younger. Dr. Heidegger, quickly, let us have more of this wonderful water.
We are younger, but we're still too old. Quick. Give us more.
For the first time in years, I feel almost like a woman again.
More, Doctor. Pour us around.
Patience. Patience, my friends. You've been a long time growing old. Surely you should be content to grow young in a quarter of an hour.
More water, Doctor.
It's at your service. Mrs. Wycherley.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Doctor, have you a mirror, please?
There on the desk.
Oh.
Mr. Medburn?
Yes? Delicious water, Doctor. Delicious. Say, we ought to market the stuff, you and I. We could make a fortune.
Fill my glass, Doctor.
Here you are, Colonel.
A fine drink. A fine drink. Well, we must have a celebration.
And Mr. Gascoigne.
Absolutely. Haven't felt this good since Grover Cleveland's administration.
My dear widow.
Yes, Colonel Killigrew?
You are charming. Charming.
Oh, Colonel, every girl in town knows you have a deceptive tongue. Though what I see in the mirror is most encouraging. The men of the town used to whisper about this complexion. Did you know that, Doctor?
May I trouble you for a pad and pencil, Doctor? There's something I want to figure out quickly.
There you are, Mr. Medburn.
With a little adroit handling, I think I could manage to gain control of some of the property on this street. Let me see. A second mortgage from the Callahan family. They're at the bottom of the heap now.
Yes. Oh, what am I doing with this ugly old shawl? Dr. Burn this with rubbish, please.
My gout's gone. All gone. Well, this calls for a real celebration. We'll spend the whole night, the whole weekend. A big party, huh? We're young.
Quiet, everybody. I have an announcement to make. I wish to declare my candidacy for public office. Gascoigne for senator. And I know just the system that'll get me elected. Great idea for a new political campaign. Yes, sir. Big Joe Gascoigne knows the angles. People don't like foreigners. Get rid of them. Send them back where they came from. Good for plenty of votes, that. Plenty of votes.
Help me swing this real estate deal and I'll vote for you, Jim.
All right, shake on that.
I think this all calls for a song. A song and a dance and an all-night party. First a song. Oh, I'm working on the rail.
Listen to who's talking about working. You've never done a day's work in your life, Killigrew.
Of course I haven't. Why work? Play, have fun. Love and be loved.
Love.
Burn the old candle at both ends. Yes, sirree.
How about some more of that wonderful water,
yes,
eh, folks?
Any left, Doctor? Any water left in the vase?
Quite a bit, Mr. Medburn. Enough, I should say, to turn half the old people in this town to the age of their own grandchildren.
Oh, mustn't get too young, you know. Want to stay at the age of discretion, eh, Clara?
Look at this old-fashioned stuff I'm wearing. And I don't need these specs. See, as good as the day I was born. There!
My constituents, life begins anew. From the rock-bound coasts of Maine to the sunny shores of California, we will keep the spirit. That is patriotism. That is our right. The sanctity of the home. the purity of womanhood.
Womanhood?
My country, right or wrong.
Here, here.
I say let's have a party.
Good, yeah, good. Yeah. Doctor, get up and dance with me.
That old man.
The colonel is right. I must ask you to excuse me. My dancing days were over long ago.
Oh, Doctor.
But any of these young gentlemen would be glad to have so pretty a partner.
Dance with me, Clara.
No, no, I'll be your partner.
He promised me a hand 50 years
ago. Oh, get away. Clara, my beautiful one, shall we waltz?
Round and round and round.
Your lips for a moment, Clara. Your red, red lips.
My arms around your waist for a wonderful moment of ecstasy.
Oh, you're
you beautiful, beautiful creature.
Away, away, gentlemen, please.
Me, listen to me, Clara. I'm going to be a big man in this town. I'm going to own every inch of it. Do you hear me? What do you want? I'll give it to you. Any,
don't listen to him, Clara. I'll take you to the White House. I'll make you the first lady of this land.
Ah, but I'll give you fun, Clara. Laughter and love and songs on your lips. Excitement, Clara. Zest. The whole world for your playground.
But, gentlemen, you sweep me off my feet. I want to dance some more.
Yes.
I want the world to spin around
me. Ah, your hand, you beautiful creature.
Get away, Killigrew. She's mine.
Keep your distance, you cheap politician.
I'm going to hit you right in the face, Killigrew, and this time there'll be no apology.
Gentlemen.
Fight me, will you?
Gentlemen, please. Gentlemen, I really must protest.
The base is taking.
My lovely glass vase smashed into a thousand pieces, and the precious water of youth lavished on the wooden boards of the floor.
Ah, what difference does it make? We're young again, all of us. I forgive you, your boyish, impetuous punch, Gascoigne. Let the dance continue. Your hand, madame. Round and round and round. Sing it to tune, youngsters. And I'll take up a chorus while each of you has a spin with this charmer.
Fair enough. How about a nice Viennese waltz, my friend?
Yes, all together.
Friends, one moment.
Don't be a spoiled sport, Heidegger.
No, my friends, I beg you to observe that my Sylvia's rose appears to be fading again.
Fading?
What's happened? What's happened?
Hey. I am cold. Have any of you seen my shawl?
Where are my specs? I can't see.
Doctor, help me.
Was this just a dream? Are we old again? So soon? Oh, take away from here. Take away from here.
So, this was your experiment. Well, tell us, how has it turned out? Have we grown old again so suddenly? So quickly?
Yes, my friends, you've grown old again. And the scientific fact we shall set down is that youth effervesces like bubbles in the water. But it's transient. And soon passes away.
Oh, we must find the fountain again. We'll go to Florida, all of us, and search for it. Doctor, go with us. Help us find it.
Yes, and we'll drink from the fountain morning, noon, and night. Yes.
Help us, Doctor. Tell us where to go.
Come with us, Heidegger. You're old, too. You need it.
Oh, no, no, my friends. If the fountain gushed at my very doorstep, I wouldn't stoop to bathe my lips in it. Such is the lesson you've taught me.
Come, we'll set out immediately.
I'm coming.
Wait for me. Wait for me, gentlemen.
Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, little faded rose. I love you as well now as I did when you bloomed and blossomed. For if the noon of your life is filled with goodness There's a real glory in the quiet sunset.
You've been listening to Nathaniel Hawthorne's yarn, Dr. Heidegger's Experiment.
Favorite story on Tuned to Yesterday from March 18, 1947. The story, penned by Nathaniel Hawthorne, was first published anonymously in 1837, and not too much later was republished in his collection Twice Told Tales in the very same year. This is an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for X-1 with the story La Lunga Mina, an NBC episode from May 26th, 1956.
Countdown for blast off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. Far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents X-1. Tonight, La Lunga Mina by Gordon R. Dixon. Blame Clay Harbank, if you like, for what happened at Station 563. Or blame Bill Peterborough, the one we called the Kid. I blame no one. I'm a Dorsai man. That means I was brought up on one of those tiny planets a million light years from nowhere. Being a Dorsai man is quite a responsibility. We are a very polite people. We have to be. Because when we get angry, we fight to the death. It all began that evening that Clay Harbank began reminiscing about his home planet, La Lunga Mina. We were sitting around the recreation room of 563. There was a card game going on in one corner.
La Lunga Mina. The very name sounds like music, doesn't it, Mort?
You know me, Clay. I'm a Dorsai man.
I've been in the Dorsai planets. I've seen them all knocking around this universe for 35 years. But when it comes to sheer beauty, La Lunga Mina.
How long since you've been home, Clay?
Home? 20 years, Mort. 20 stinking miserable years? Well, that'll be over soon.
Another 10 days. You gonna miss old 563?
Miss this godforsaken little asteroid? Not for a minute.
We'll miss your ugly face around here. At least I will.
I'm gonna miss your gloomy Dorsai puss, too. Mort, why don't you get out of it? You've had more years in space service than any of us. You've probably got enough credits to get out, too.
Me? I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Couldn't you go home?
You should know better than that.
The Denebrian trouble?
The Denebrian trouble.
You could go to Earth.
What for?
Ever been there?
Never once. And I've never wanted to. I've seen too many Earthmen. Like the kid over there.
He's green in service.
He's full of greed and stupid hate like the rest of them. No, that's not for me.
Looks as if the game's breaking up. Here he comes.
Well, if it isn't the big gambler from the windy planet. What's its name?
La Lunga Mina.
Yeah. How's the piggy bank coming, Dad?
The piggy's a gentleman, kid. He never overeats, so he won't ever get indigestion.
Sour grapes. You see this wad of credits? 500. How long you have to work for 500 credits, Dad? How many trips you have to make around this asteroid? how much closer to falling your grave you have to come.
You look as if you made a killing.
I always make a killing. I'm a natural-born gambler. And I don't just talk about it like some.
I think I'll go out and take a turn around the station, Mort.
Fine, I'll go with you. It's, stuffy in here.
Don't bother. I'd rather be alone.
Big chef. Knocked around the planets for 35 years. Used to have a reputation as the hottest gambler in the systems. Comes from the most beautiful planet in the universe. Bull.
Why don't you lay off him? Kid, let me give you a piece of sound advice.
Go ahead.
Lay off Clay Harbank. He's been around the systems a lot longer than you have. He may not be any chicken, but he's a tough baby when the situation calls for it.
You're trying to scare me, Mort? I thought you Dorsai guys were smarter than that. I'm beginning...
No, look, kid.
No, offense, Morty. I wasn't trying to insult the Dorsai people or anything. I gotta go do a flight check. I'll see you.
We were in bad shape. The 20 of us at Frontier Station 563 on the very edge of the human area had gone sour. Half the men had applications for transfer in already. But I told the kid about Clay being tough. Well, that was a bluff to keep him off. Nobody knew better than I did that Clay was burned out inside like a used-up rocket. I put on a spacesuit and went out to join him.
Oh, hi, Mort.
Hi.
Beautiful night, huh?
Nice.
Back on Lulungamina on a night like this, the Rakish flowers open up and you can hear them singing. There are six moons and every one of them is like a yellow lantern. My mom and dad and I used to live on the edge of a lotus pool. Here I go talking about home again.
Figures. A guy who's been saving up for 10 years to get home is bound to start thinking about it when the time comes. Clay, tell me something.
Yes?
Do you ever get the urge to gamble again?
Mort, you ever watch a man who's been on PON for a while? When he's broken the habit, you can't get him near the stuff. He despises it. And yet... the same man is liable to go back on with no provocation. That's the way it is when you've gambled all your life.
I figured.
Maybe that's why I keep talking about home. Every time I hear the kid flipping those cards in the recreation room, I start talking about home. Have you noticed?
I've noticed.
But this time I'm going to make it, Mort. I tried 3 times before. This time I've got the dough and I know I'm going to make it.
I think you will, Clay.
You know what did it?
No.
Lulungamina. That's what saved me this time. The thought of that beautiful planet.
Well, when you get there, you can send me a phototape. At the rate we get visitors, it should reach me in 5 or 6 years.
You'll be out by then. You'll be home.
I'll never go home, Clay. Never. Well.
That's Red 4.
Screens must have picked up a ship in the galaxy.
Maybe we'll get a visit.
Keep us from going local anyway. Coming in?
No, I think I'll stay out a while.
Well, I'm going to check the screen. See you later. Red 4 meant simply that a ship was entering the galaxy. The chances of it touching down on 563 were pretty remote, unless it happened to need a clearance for Earth or Mars. The screen was black by the time I got there, but the kid was filing a report.
Hey, what's a Hyksos like?
Why?
We're having one for a visitor.
You don't say.
I just came in over the receiver. What'll he be like?
A Hyksos? Stiff as a poker, proud as Lucifer, honest as sunlight, and tight as a camel on his way through the eye of a needle.
What do they look like?
Oh, they're kind of humanoid, but they have a deadpan face that never changes, like a mask.
Well, they're a little scary, I hear.
That's the green skin and the scales. Also, they run about 8 feet tall. I wouldn't tangle with one if I were you. Back on Denebria once, I saw a Hyksos rip a man to ribbons with its claws.
Why?
The man made the mistake of insulting Hyksa. That's one of the twin planets they come from.
Oh, pretty touchy, aren't they?
Not really. They're a very level-headed race. You know the Hyksos reputation, don't you?
No, you didn't hear much about them on Earth.
Well, they're the first and only mercenary political arbitrators in the known universe. A Hyksos can be hired, but he's absolutely incapable of being influenced or bribed. He tells the cold truth and nothing but the cold truth. And, brother, when a Hyksos tells you the truth, it's plenty cold.
It really lets you have it, huh?
They're a small race and very much in demand. If some kind of political dispute comes up from planetary to inter-alien, both sides hire a Hexabrod to represent them. That way they know the other side is being completely honest.
Oh, that's very interesting, you know. Very interesting.
I could tell there was something on the kid's mind, but of course I didn't know what it was. Most of the talk in the recreation room that night centered around the arrival of the Hexabrod. Landing beacons were turned on, and we waited for another radio communication.
Hey, anybody want to sit in on this next hand? What?
No, thanks.
Well, I know better than to ask the galaxy's foremost gambler here.
That's right, kid.
Well, maybe when this Hexabrod gets here, we'll be able to work up a decent game. Do Hexabrods gamble?
No, kid, they don't gamble.
That's too bad. Well, we can always sit and listen to you lying about what a beautiful place La Lungamina is.
Kid, you just went too far.
Yeah, you're going to do something about it?
That's right. I'm going to punch your little nose.
You...
Hey, break it up. Break it up.
Clay, you all right?
I'm okay.
Well, you better get to the infirmary. Have your mouth taken care of. Kid, you get to your quarters.
Since when are you giving orders?
I'm telling you to get to your quarters.
You better do what he says, kid. He's a Dorsai man. That's all I've been hearing since I got here. What big gamblers come from La Lungamina and how Dorsai men are killers. So far, I've seen nothing, but I heard a lot of talk.
You're going to get to your quarters? I'll give you 5 seconds to start moving.
You better go ahead, kid. Okay, Mort. I'm letting you bluff me out of the game this time. Just remember, there's going to be other games. Next time, I won't be bluffed.
He left the recreation room. I felt a slight and not unpleasant shiver run down between my shoulder blades, and my eyes were still hot. I'd almost lost my control that time, and my senses told me I'd better be careful. For the next 3 days, the tension of 563 was almost unbearable. Clay Harbank seemed to age 20 years after the kid knocked him down.
Now hear this, all personnel. A ship is approaching for flight check. Report to Central.
Well, this is it, Clay. We're getting the Hexabrod.
Seems almost like home having a Hexabrod with us. They're all over the Tarzian system, you know.
You speak Hexabrod?
You have to on Lungamina.
Oh, I didn't know that. I picked it up during the third exploration.
Long time ago, huh?
We're not getting younger, Clay.
Yeah, I found that out.
Ah, don't take it so big. He's just a punk kid.
And I'm just a dumb old man.
Ah, forget it. Ah, that's touchdown. He ought to be here in a minute. He's down.
Look at that ship, huh?
Let's go. He'll need some help with his baggage. The ship was a silvery one-man job. The kind that have taken the Hexabrods all over the universe. The cabin door slid back, and the Hexa stepped out. He was as green and scaly as a lizard, but there was a certain unmistakable dignity in his bearing. Since I spoke the language, I was the first to greet him. Belt the Hutchin, Hexabrod. Welcome to this place.
I greet you, Dorsai man.
My name is Mort Bjansky.
I am called Dorlassus.
Come. I'll show you to your quarters.
Thank you.
How long will you remain here?
Only for one night. I wish clearance for Mars.
I'm sure it can be handled. This way. I wondered how he knew I was a Dorsai man. And then it seemed obvious. My broken nose, the scars, the lined face. Nobody could mistake a human from the Dorsai planets. Still, it scared me a little. I kept wondering if he had anything to do with interplanetary police. I tried to put it out of my mind. It was no use. Mind if I come in, Clay?
Sit down. Have a smoke.
Thanks.
Where's the Hexabrod?
In his room, getting cleaned up for dinner.
Strange guys, aren't they?
Well, there's something even stranger going on.
What's that?
The kid's in there with him.
With the Hicks?
Mm-hmm.
What do you suppose they're talking about?
I don't know. I wish I did.
Kid's probably trying to get the Hicks into a dice game.
I doubt it.
What's on your mind, Mort?
Clay, you've been around. Are there any Hexabrods in interplanetary police?
A few. Why?
I don't know. I just had a feeling, you know.
Oh. You're dreaming up bogeymen.
Maybe.
Besides, you're not in any trouble outside the Dorsai system.
I killed a human, Clay.
Not deliberately?
In a rage.
Happens all the time on Dorsai, doesn't it?
Not to an officer of Intergalactic.
Besides, that was 25 years ago.
There's no statute of limitations in the systems.
Nobody knows but me, right?
You don't have to be clairvoyant to wonder why a man hasn't been back to his home planet for 25 years.
You, think the kid...
I don't know. He's got no love for me.
Still, how would he know this Hyksabrod is an agent, if he is?
Couldn't say.
Where are you going?
Well, I think I'll take a look at that message the kid filed. The one we got when we first picked up the Hyksabrod on the screens.
Let me know what you find, if anything.
I walked through the empty corridors to the communication center. I went directly to the files where incoming messages are kept and flicked the tab until I got to Notices of Arrivals. There, 2 days before, was a report of the arrival of Dor Lassus. I ran my finger down the statistics until I came to the line that said, Point of Origin of Flight. It read, Tarsian Galaxy. That was where Clay Harbank's Lulongamina was. I read further, where it said Nature of Business. My blood ran cold as I spelled out the words, Criminal...
Come in.
Velta Hotchin, Hyksabrod.
I greet you, Dorsai man.
Is there anything you require?
Nothing, thank you.
I came to tell you that we'll have dinner tonight at 800 hours.
The young Earthman has already informed me.
There's a shortage of raw meat here.
I've brought my own food, thank you.
I see you came in from the Tarsian planets.
Yes.
You didn't happen to be in the Dorsai planets before that?
No.
Well, I thought perhaps you might have some news.
I came from Intergalactic Headquarters.
Yes, I saw your flight check.
Then you know my mission.
Yes.
Good.
How long do I have to pack?
I will be leaving at 700 hours tomorrow morning. Can you be ready by then?
Yes, I guess so.
Good.
I don't suppose there's any point in appealing to you. Hyksabrods are supposed to be totally without emotion.
There is no point in appealing.
Funny thing. I've been running away from this moment for 25 years, and now that it's come, I'm glad. We'll be going back to the Dorsais?
Yes, to Intergalactic Headquarters.
After all these years. Home. I don't suppose a Hyksabrod knows what that feeling is like.
I will expect you at 700 hours. Now, if you don't mind, I wish to prepare my food.
One thing.
Yes?
Did the young Earthman tip you off about me?
No.
Funny. I could have sworn it was him. That was that. When a Hyksabrod tells you no, you can bet your life he isn't lying. I began to wonder how they located me. I began to wonder what he and the kid had talked about. I began to wonder a lot of things.
Well?
He's an agent for Intergalactic.
Well, that doesn't prove he's after you.
He is.
How do you know?
I just talked to him.
Lord in heaven.
It isn't so bad, really. Just think, I'll be going home.
I'm going to kill that kid.
Clay...
I'm going
to
kill him.
Why, listen to me. The kid didn't turn me in.
You said...
I said he was talking to the Hicks. I just asked him. And the Hicks told me it wasn't the kid.
They don't lie.
So don't go blowing off.
It's going to be hard. 10 days.
Doesn't have to be 10 days.
What do you mean?
How many credits do you need to buy your way out?
Another 500. Next payday.
Don't wait.
Don't wait?
I have over 900 credits. I'll turn them over to you.
Mort.
Listen, I don't need them. Well, you can pay off tomorrow and fly as far as the Tarsian chain with me and the Hicks.
It's a very nice thing, Mort.
Will you do it?
I'll think about it. Let you know after dinner.
I thought of running away, but there was really no place to run once they tracked you down. And the Hyksabrods were utterly relentless once they'd agreed to bring a man in. Since they had no feelings, they made no judgments. They were absolutely certain that a man would get a fair trial. I packed my stuff and went into dinner. The Hyksabrod was at the head of the table eating his raw chinsu meat.
Pass the gravy, please. Dor Lassus.
Yes?
They tell me that the Hyksabrod home planet is a very beautiful place.
It is true.
Well, I'm from Earth myself.
Yes.
I'm curious to know what this beautiful planet of yours looks like.
The kid's pretty talkative tonight. What's cooking?
I don't know, but I don't trust it.
The flora and fauna are maintained in excellent natural balance. No local surplus has exceeded 1% of the normal population for the last 60,000 years. Life on Hyksa is predictable. The weather is controlled within the greatest limits of feasibility. The symmetry of the landscape is without parallel in the universe.
Very pretty picture. Very attractive home world. But I regret to inform you, Dor Lassies, that I've been given to understand that it pales into insignificance when compared with another beauty spot in our universe.
Your Earth?
I wish I could say yes. No, no. This place is so wonderful, I doubt if an Earthman like me could get in. In fact, I've never seen it. But I've been hearing about it for some months now. And either it's the most wonderful place in the universe, or the man who's been telling me about it is a rotten liar.
Get your gun, kid. Get your gun.
Why guns?
You call me a liar.
Why use guns when it's possible to prove the thing one way or another with complete certainty? For months now, you've been telling me two things. One, that you used to be a gambler. Two, your precious Lulungamina is the most wonderful place in the universe. The question is either statement true?
They're both true.
You'll back them up?
With my life.
I'm not asking you to back them with your life. Just back them with that nice little hoard you've been accumulating all these years.
Why, you don't?
Well, you said you were a gambler. Bet with me and prove it.
Suppose I do. How do we prove my statement about Lulungamina?
That's easy. We have with us at this table a Hyksabrod. In a conversation with him, I found out that he's just visited every planet in the Tarzian chain. Now, as everyone knows, a Hyksabrod never lies. Do you think you could judge this point, Dor Lassies?
The point can be judged.
Well, gambler.
Quay, it's a trick. Don't bet.
How much will you bet, kid?
All I got. The equivalent of 10 years' pay. Well?
You're on.
Dor Lassies, okay if I question you?
Proceed.
You've been to the planet in the Tarzian chain, which this man calls his home?
I must ascertain the position of the planet.
The fourth planet.
Ah, yes. The one with 6 moons.
That's it.
I've been there recently, as you well know, since we spoke of it only this afternoon.
We did speak of it, that's true. Now, will you tell me, you know the planet?
Yes.
You know its geography?
I do not repeat myself.
Is it a large planet?
No.
Is it a rich planet?
No.
Was there not a rain of radioactive fallout from an explosion of a nearby star only 5 months ago?
There was.
Did it not destroy every piece of vegetation and leave this planet a gutted, smoking ruins, charred and ugly?
It did.
Well, gambler?
You haven't asked him the main question yet, kid.
Would you like to ask him?
All right. Hyksabrod. The question to be judged is this. Is Lulungamina the most beautiful and the most wonderful place in the universe?
Yes, it is.
What?
Well, kid...
It's a trick. It's a rotten trick. I don't believe it. The Hyksas...
The eyes of the Hyksabrod were narrow and baleful as he pushed back his chair. You could almost feel them burning as he dragged his scaly feet over toward the kid. He stopped about 6 inches from the kid and held both his hands up, palms near the kid's eyes. There was a clicking sound, and we watched 11 sets of gleaming, razor-like claws shoot up from the tips of the Hyksabrod's fingers. Their points were almost against the kid's eyes.
Look at my hands, Earthman. Are they not clean?
Yes.
Do you doubt that I have told the truth?
No.
Then there is nothing further to discuss. I bow to you, gentlemen. I thank you for your hospitality. You will excuse me.
We stood around and watched that proud, frightening figure drag itself out of the room. The kid was trembling like a leaf as he drew a bank draft for 10 years' pay and handed it to Clay Harbank. The next morning, Clay and I boarded the Hyksabrod ship, and 4 days later, we touched down at the outer planet of the Tarzian chain.
Well, this is where I get off, Mort. I don't know what to say, really. I guess you know how I feel.
Think I do, Clay.
Let's just say so long.
There will be no need for goodbyes.
What?
Both of you are leaving the ship here.
But I thought I...
I intend to return to Intergalactic Headquarters empty-handed.
Empty-handed? But they'll question you. What will you tell them?
The truth, of course.
But...
You have told me nothing.
But I assume...
I am not interested in your assumption. You asked me my mission. I told you it was a criminal investigation. You said you assumed you would go back with me. And I told you when my ship was departing. There is nothing more to be said.
But surely you know...
What? Don't say anything. The Hyksabrod deals only with facts. What is absolutely known. They're the most literal beings in the universe. Let it go with that.
Goodbye, gentlemen. I am grateful for the pleasure of your company.
Five minutes later, Clay Harbank and I shook hands at the exit of the spaceport on Tarsus 10. But before we parted, there was one thing I had to know. Clay, one thing before you go.
Yes?
How did you know the Hyksabrod would lie about Lulungamina?
He didn't lie, Mort. The Hyksabrod never lies.
But Lulungamina...
Mort, let me tell you something. Lulungamina is a word in use throughout the Tarsian planets. Actually, it's a Hyksabrod word. It means home. All I did was ask the Hyksabrod if home was beautiful. He simply said yes. And the Hyksabrod, as everybody knows, doesn't lie.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features the Finn O'Donovan novelette, Bad Medicine.
X-1, on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 26th of May, 1956 on NBC. Bringing to a close this hour of science fiction on Tuned 2 yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.